Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Gators Breakdown. The Gators Fan Podcast, because there's never a dull moment in Gator Nation.
The Gators Breakdown Podcast is ready to go. Happy holidays, everybody. I'm your host, David Waters, and you can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. And joining me on this Orange Bowl preview episode will be Jerry Ratcliffe from JerryRatcliffe.com. Very, very experienced in covering the Virginia Cavaliers, and definitely wanted to get him here on Gators Breakdown to give us a preview of the Orange Bowl matchup between Florida and Virginia that will take place on Monday night in Miami. So Gators going for their second straight New Year's Six Bowl win under Dan Mullen. Before we get there, remember you can find Gators Breakdown on news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. You'll find all the Gators Breakdown episodes there, as well as News4Jax coverage of the Gators. Also, catch the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube, however you want to get Gators Breakdown. You can find it on all those avenues there. And remember, you can get your Gators Breakdown gear at squadlocker.com. Head over and click into the top right of the screen. Click on Find Your Store, type Gators Breakdown, and all the gear is available right there. Hat, shirts, polos, and more. All that stuff from Gators Breakdown and Squad Locker. Jerry Ratcliffe from JerryRatcliffe.com joins us here on Gators Breakdown. And Jerry has earned countless awards covering the Cavaliers for four decades and is now right here on Gators Breakdown to give us a preview of the Virginia Cavaliers. Jerry, thank you so much for hopping on.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate the invitation. I'm proud to be with you, and Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners out there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Jerry, give us our listeners a little bit of background about yourself. And, you know, we don't get to see Virginia all too often because we just don't play them in bowl games enough. We played enough ACC teams out there, of course, with FSU and Miami, the common opponents for these two teams this year. But give us a little bit of background for your coverage of the Cavaliers.
Well, I came here to Charlottesville in 1982, the same year that George Welch got here, and Virginia was probably the laughing stock of college football at that time, although they had a great basketball program with Ralph Sampson and those guys. But witnessed and covered the incredible turnaround that Welch put here. He made him one of the most consistent winners in the country during his almost two-decade career, and put them in a lot of bowl games, including their first bowl game in 1984, believe it or not. You know, I had a lot of chances to leave and go to bigger places, but I really loved Charlottesville. I'm a Virginia native. It's a great town to live in. It's been rated one of the best places in the country to live, so I figured if people are trying to move here, why should I leave? So I've been here ever since, and I was sports editor at the local newspaper for 36 years and or a little bit, yeah, I guess 36 years. And then happens to many of us older sports writers, our jobs seem to be eliminated for cost-cutting situations. And so I was encouraged by a lot of Virginia fans who have liked my work over the years. Been very fortunate to get that kind of support to do my own thing. So I started my own website covering Virginia, and do a radio show that's heard in Charlottesville, Richmond, and Norfolk. So not ready to hang it up yet.
I hear you there. So, of course, an historic season for Virginia. You know, what a season it's been up to this point for the Cavaliers. And, you know, what did the teams in the preseason peg to win the ACC Coastal and pretty much lived up to that expectation? It really looks like head coach Bronco Mendenhall has the program going on the right track.
Oh, absolutely. What he's done has been just short of miraculous. It's very reminiscent of what George Welch did, actually. George came here from Navy, brought his entire staff, and they stayed for years and gradually improved year by year. Bronco's done the same thing. He brought, I think, all of his staff from BYU except for one coach clear across the country where they had no recruiting roots of any kind. And I guess that was the biggest obstacle, still is a little bit. And he's kept all his coaches, very close-knit staff, and they have incrementally gotten better each year from 2-10 4 years ago to 6-7 the next year, losing a one-sided bowl game to Navy at Navy, then beat South Carolina pretty badly last year in the Belk Bowl and finished 8-5, and then right now they stand 9-4. The program's only won 10 games and once, and that was in 1989. So you can see, you know, how much progress they've made and what it means to Virginia fans to be in this situation.
And quarterback Bryce Perkins was a player. You know, he came on the scene last year, but really burst onto the scene this year with the successful season Virginia was having. Was there any inclination to believe, you know, he'd have this type of performance coming into the season?
David, you know, that's a good question. I think so, and because he had to. There was so much pressure on this guy to deliver. And Bronco, you know, coaches normally shy away from putting too much pressure on one guy, saying, well, you know, it's, we don't want to do that. We got to make sure that his other teammates share the pressure. But Bronco has been pretty adamant that ever since Bryce got here, that we go as far as Bryce goes, and he's been very accurate on that. He did have a spectacular season last year and has topped that this year, and he had to. Back in the summer, Bryce went in to see Bronco and said, well, you know, what can I do to get better, Coach? I want to, you know, have a little bit of a legacy that I leave behind here, even though I'll only be here 2 years. And Bronco just flat out told him, said, you know, Bryce, the difference between good quarterbacks and great quarterbacks is that great quarterbacks win championships. Can you win me a championship? And I think that really resonated with Perkins, and he's had an incredible year, even though they were hammered by Clemson in the ACC championship game. He broke two UVA records, the single season passing record of 3,215 yards. And then he also broke the UVA record for career rushing yards by a quarterback, breaking the famous Bullet Bill Dudley's record from back in the 40s. So he's just had an incredible year. And if it weren't for Bryce Perkins, Virginia would just be a mediocre football team.
And much like Florida, in the traditional running game, you know, Virginia struggles. So both teams coming into this game, you know, not really being able to get much from the running backs. You know, Perkins is the leading rusher for Virginia. So what contributes to the struggles in the traditional run game that the running backs can't get going?
It's something that has haunted Virginia for years, David. They just in the coaching transition, they just the previous administration or coaching regime was not very good about recruiting offensive linemen. And when Bronco came in, the recruiting numbers were out of whack. There weren't enough offensive linemen, so he was starting in the hole there. And they still haven't caught up. The offensive line has been a work in progress for all 4 years. they just simply haven't been good enough or overpowering enough to open a lot of holes for what we think are some fairly talented running backs. I'm not sure there's any NFL backs in the group, but they have struggled with some run game every year. And you're right about Perkins. I mean, he has 745 net yards rushing, over 1,000 if you take the sacks away, and 11 rushing touchdowns. So he's been the difference. And a lot of that, some of it's design plays, a lot of it is ad lib when things break down, that's probably when he's the most dangerous, really. And so that's where we are. Wayne Talapapa, a Hawaiian kid, sophomore, is their leading running back with 459 yards, 4.1 average. But then again, he a lot of times he has no place to run. And I'll remember one thing that Al Grove, former UVA coach, former NFL coach, told me when he was here, is that all running backs run the same when there's no hole. And he's pretty darn right about that. And so Talapapa is the main guy. They have a couple other guys. They have a talented freshman from Louisiana. He was the top running back in Louisiana last year as a high schooler, in Mike Hollins, but he hasn't played that much in the offense. He only has 21 carries on the season. I think they've been trying to hold him out and use him as the back of the future. But then again, Talapapa's back, so we'll have a couple of guys that they're going to weigh heavily on the next few years.
And if we go back to the last game, and shortly before kickoff versus Clemson, Virginia announced wide receiver Joe Reed would not play in that game because of an undisclosed injury. And look, he leads Virginia in touchdown catches with 6 and 70 receptions as well, and a great kick returner to add to that. So, you know, what's the outlook there with Reed? Will he be able to play in this Orange Bowl along with, playmaker Hasis DeBwise? I mean, he looks to be a big-time target there for Perkins.
Yeah, we think Reed is going to be healthy enough to play, and he's a guy with really good speed, decent size. He really started to come on at the end of his junior year last season, and he's really been a terrific guy at 627 yards and 6 touchdowns receiving. He's one of the most dangerous kickoff return guys in the country. He's averaging almost 35 yards a return and 22 returns and including 2 touchdowns. They were kind of a lot of people wondered where Virginia's passing game would be this year because Olamide Zaccheaus, who broke the UVA receiving record, is playing with the Falcons now and is actually playing as a rookie. And that left a huge void. And Reed and DeBois really stepped up. DeBois is incredibly dangerous. He has some of the best hands I've ever seen. I don't think he's had, but I'm not even sure he's had a drop this season, to tell you the truth.
No, he hasn't. I looked that up. Yeah, he hasn't had a drop this year.
Yeah, he has 65 catches, 979 yards, 4 touchdowns, and he's just made some incredible catches, a few one-handers. And those two guys have been really the staple of the passing game. And the last half of the season, another guy, Terrell Janna, has really stepped up, and I think he's had something like 30 catches over the last 4 games. But the 3 of those guys give Virginia a real threat in the passing game.
Jerry Ratcliffe from jerryratcliffe.com is joining us here on Gators Breakdown, giving us a preview of these Virginia Cavaliers, and we'll move to the other side of the ball in this defense. And this is a defense, much like Florida, that gets after the quarterback. 45 sacks this season. That's good for 6th in the country. And look, Florida's going to pass the ball a lot with Kyle Trask, so that's a matchup to look out for here. You know, what makes Eli Handback and this crew so special?
I think Eli is just a really steady guy. He's one of these guys that really doesn't want a lot of credit and doesn't look for the limelight at all. He just goes about his business, does his job. He's a senior. He's not real flashy or anything like that. He's just bullish and determined and hardest block. He has 4.5 sacks this year and a few hurries, but he's recovered 2 fumbles, including the one at the end of the game that iced Virginia's win over Virginia Tech and ended a 15 years of frustration against those guys. He recovered a fumble in the end zone to ice a game. But he's really solid. Eli has 33 tackles, and he's just one of these guys who goes about his business without any glory, and I think that's what Bronco appreciates most about him.
And then if you go back and look, the defense lost, you know, a big one for the season. One of the best quarterbacks in the country with Bryce Hall lost him back in October. And then, you know, all ACC caliber linebacker Jordan Mack was barely able to play versus Clemson in the ACC championship. Have these last few weeks helped shore up some of the injuries on defense? You get a lot of bowl prep here. And, you know, what's Mack's impact on this defense?
Well, you know, unfortunately for Virginia, that hasn't been the case. I don't think they're going to get any of these guys back, like Hall, who's people almost refused to throw in his direction because they knew his man was covered or there was a good chance of him intercepting the pass. So that was really tough when they lost him at Miami this year in that loss. And you know, they've had 3 starters on these in the secondary go down. That used to be the strength of the defense, and they lost 3 guys. They lost a couple of backups, so they've been really hobbled in the secondary ever since the Miami game. It seems like it got contagious or something, and it's been tough for them to deal with because they've had to rely on some guys switching positions. Our guys with little experience stepping up to the plate. Nick Grant is a junior, and people have tried to pick on him. Devontae Cross is a strong safety. Same thing, he's a junior. People have picked on him, and Miami did particularly in that game. And Heskin Smith is a sophomore, and actually this is how bad it got. Smith had been out for most of the season with a knee injury and had surgery. And on one day's practice, I think the week of the Georgia Tech game, he came out back out, and on Saturday he was starting at one of the cornerback spots. So it's been tough, and you know, that's where Virginia's been vulnerable ever since Hall got hurt and then the other guys got hurt. Joey Blunt, junior, is the last guy standing, last starter standing, I guess, and he's only a junior as well. Mack has meant almost everything to this defense. He's one of the captains. He's just a guy. He's been around. He's played a lot ever since he was a freshman. He's just steady, great pass rusher, solid tackler. And he just means a lot in terms of leadership, and the players rally around him a lot. But, I don't know what his status is for the game right now. I know he had to come out of the ACC championship game because of a nagging injury. He might be the only guy that has a chance of healing enough to play in the Orange Bowl against Florida.
And speaking of Florida there, you just mentioned – the Gators there. What's your thoughts on Florida so far? You know, we've had a few weeks to kind of preview this this game and this Orange Bowl. You know, from afar, have you looked at the Gators this season, and what's your thoughts on them?
I've seen a little bit of them off and on throughout the season, just in watching some games, but haven't seen a great deal of them. What I have seen, I'm impressed. Looks like they like to throw it all over the lot and have a guy that can do that. Virginia's used to that. They've faced quite a few passing teams this year, and some fairly good quarterbacks. I've been really impressed with the defense, and I'm biased a little bit because, believe it or not, this old goat used to be the peewee football coach of Todd Grantham, your defensive coordinator down here.
Oh, wow.
And I've known Todd for most of his life. So, I've followed his career naturally, and I was really impressed with what he did out of Louisville until he left the Bobby Petrino dumpster fire and got out of there and hooked up with Dan Mullins at Mississippi State. And he's been solid and everywhere he's gone and produced some incredible defenses. So, that aside, I've been very impressed with Florida's defense. I think it's one of the better ones Virginia will face this year.
Was he as fiery back then as he is now?
Yeah, in a peewee kind of way. I mean, he was only 10, 11, 12 years old during that time. But you could tell that he was a football guy even back then, and was pretty intense for a kid that age and a really good football player. So, there's no question he's a football guy, and it's been in his veins all of his life.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much here for joining us here on Gators Breakdown. Hope you get to enjoy the trip to Miami. Hope the team does as well. Get to enjoy some warm weather for a few days during this cold time of year.
Yeah, it'd be nice, David. It's been in the 20s up here, so anything over 60 would be a relief. But thank you, and I hope you have a great Christmas.
All right, that's Jerry Ratcliffe from jerryratcliffe.com giving us a great preview of the Virginia Cavaliers. So let's take a look at the game here. And look, Dan Mullen and Virginia coach Bronco Mendenhall are no stranger to each other. In 2003, both coaches arrived in the state of Utah and became rivals for the Holy War, the annual game between BYU and Utah. Mendenhall was in his first year as BYU's defensive coordinator, and Mullen in his first season as Utah's quarterback coach there under Urban Meyer. In 2003, it was a 3-0 Utah victory, so not a lot of offense there in the first matchup between these two coaches. And then in 2004, a 52-21 Utah victory. So, you know, Dan Mullen does have some familiarity with how Mendenhall likes to do things on defense. So, looking at the game itself between Florida and Virginia, you know, the game plan is pretty simple, but could be tough to execute. You know, stop quarterback Bryce Perkins for Virginia here. He's one of only two players in the nation joining Oklahoma's Jalen Hurts to pass for 3,000-plus yards and rush for 700-plus yards so far this season. He's number one in the ACC and number seven in the nation with 3,960 yards of total offense, which has already broken his own single-season Virginia record from last season. So coming into this game, Virginia went 4-0 in the month of November before losing to Clemson in the ACC championship game, but 4-0 in the month of November for the first time since 1951 for the Cavaliers. And Bryce Perkins was a big part of that. 92 of 137, so he was completing 67.2% of his passes in November for 1,146 yards and 7 touchdowns in November. All Cavalier wins. 4-0, and Bryce Perkins was a big part of that. He also rushed for 412 yards and 6 more touchdowns there on the ground. So, look, he thrives getting the ball out of his hands fast, and that's what this offense is designed for, getting his receivers the ball and letting them make plays. He does a good job of quickly, you know, seeing what the defense has given him and what they want to do, you know, then make some accurate throws and gets the ball to his receivers in space. That's what this offense does, and those receivers rack up yards and touchdowns. And because of his athletic ability, you know, they use his feet quite a bit. He is their leading rusher as well, and he's shown the ability to make some throws on the run and there. So, not consistent in his reads or his accuracy there. If you want to look at it, has a tendency to, with this offense, to kind of just lock onto that, you know, first read receiver, and he can struggle there in working through his progressions. He really likes to get the ball out to that first read fast. You know, make no mistake about it, he's a true dual threat quarterback. He can make the throws and make you pay, but a lot of it is based on getting that ball out to that first read, that first receiver. Has 11 interceptions on the year, so has the propensity to give the ball away more than you'd like, and those come against some of the better teams and more athletic teams on the schedule. Threw two interceptions versus Florida State, two more versus Notre Dame, and two more versus Clemson. He was sacked 38 times this season, and Virginia ranks 116th there. So this Gators pass rush led by Jonathan Greenard, I think Jabari Zuniga will play as well, so he'll be a welcome sight back. They'll be licking their chops here. So now look, I know a lot of those sacks comes with a quarterback that can run and try and make things happen with his feet, but it also shows that once he can't get the ball past his first read, then there's a chance for sacks to pile up. So, you know, Notre Dame, tallied eight sacks versus Virginia. Miami got to him five times in back-to-back games. Louisville had four sacks. North Carolina had three. So there's a good chance for the Gators to add to their 46 sacks this season. Florida ranks fifth among all college football teams, FBS, and lead the SEC by a whopping 13 sacks. The next closest SEC team entering bowl season are LSU and Ole Miss with 33 sacks apiece. So, and looking at this game, if the Gators collect four sacks in the bowl game, they'll finish the season with 50-plus sacks for the fourth time in history. So if the Gators get, you know, four sacks here in the bowl game, they could finish with, you know, 50-plus sacks for the fourth time in history. So you have to like Florida's chances to get there. So, you know, as I said earlier, and Perkins is coming into this game playing well. The whole team is in the month of November. He threw for 250 yards or more in four of his last five games. And we'll see. I think he'll have to move a bit. He's not going to be able to sit there in the pocket versus this Gators defense. But, you know, he can make things happen with his legs. He ran for over 100 yards in three of his last five games. And Virginia won all three of those. They're 5-0 this year when he runs for 60 yards or more. So that might be the stat of the game when we look back at the final stats. Hold Perkins to under 60 yards rushing, and that's probably a good sign for a Gators victory. And the wide receiver to look out for, maybe to be that first read for Perkins, is Hassis Dubois. He needs 21 more receiving yards to become just the fourth Cavalier to reach 1,000 receiving yards in a season. So far, he has 65 receptions and zero drop passes on 65 catchable targets this season. And according to Pro Football Focus, that ranks number one in the nation. So you throw him the ball, he's probably going to catch it, is what stats say here. He comes in averaging 15 yards a catch. And look, we know C.J. Henderson isn't going to play in this game. And Marco Wilson has played nickel as of late. So, you know, what does the staff do here? Is Kyir Elam and Marco Wilson the outside corners here? Do they man up one of those two guys on Dubois? I think it's interesting to see how that's going to happen. If that's the case, if Marco's sliding back out to outside corner, does Dean slide back to nickel? Did they try some of the young guys out here that we've seen in pieces this season? So I think looking at the cornerback rotation here will be pretty important and what maybe Dubois can do. So, sure, they're working on all that in the few weeks of bowl prep here, but, you know, something to keep an eye out for. You know, Dubois is coming off a 10-catch, 130-yard, one-touchdown performance versus Clemson in their last game in the ACC Championship game. And that almost matches the performance earlier this year against Notre Dame, where he had 9 catches, 143 yards, and one touchdown versus the Fighting Irish. So, you know, Hassis Dubois, very, very good wide receiver, and Florida would, have to stop him. And I do look for him to be that big-time first read for Perkins here. Moving to the other side and the Florida quarterback, I think this game really relies on the quarterbacks a whole lot. Neither team could run the ball. Neither team, they just can't do it. Both teams rank in the hundreds in running the ball overall. Bryce Perkins is Virginia's leading rusher. Florida, we know, can't run the ball too well. So this is a quarterback game here for these two teams. And so we move to the other side. And look, Kyle Trask, He should have a big day versus this Virginia defense. And they get to the quarterback as well. Virginia is number 6 in the nation, one spot behind Florida, with 45 sacks. They did play in one more game, of course. But, you know, the 45 sacks are a Virginia single-season record, surpassing the Chris Long-led 2007 team that had 43 sacks. So, you know, they better get to Trask. You know, Trask is hitting over 8 yards per pass, 24 touchdown passes, just 6 interceptions. And this Cavaliers secondary has allowed over 1,000 passing yards in its last 3 games and over 300 yards in 4 of its last 5. Trask himself has thrown for 300-plus yards 3 times this year, finishing with a career-high 363 yards against Vanderbilt, 343 yards against Florida State, and 310 yards versus LSU. And his outings of 343 and 363 yards were the highest totals by a Gator since Tim Tebow's 482 versus Cincinnati in the 2010 Sugar Bowl. Trask's 363 against Vanderbilt marked the highest total against an SEC team since Rex Grossman's 375 against Kentucky back in 2002. So Trask could have a field day here if given the time. It may have one anyway. So Virginia's been getting to quarterbacks, but even that, you know, they've shown lately to give up a whole lot of passing yards there. So I think for Florida right now, you know, when you play a team you're better than and more talented than, then turnovers end up being the equalizer. Gators have done, after starting the season, turning the ball over a lot, they have gotten much better there. They've only lost a turnover battle just once this season, and that's against LSU since the first game against Miami. So Miami and LSU are the only 2 games here where Florida lost a turnover battle. But Florida hasn't turned the ball over in 3 of the last 4 games, or more than once in 6 of their last 7. So Florida doing a great job of taking care of the ball. And against 4 of the better teams on Virginia's schedule, Clemson, Notre Dame, Louisville, Florida State, Virginia was minus 10 in turnover margin there. So it looks like, you know, they go against some athletic teams, they have a trend of turning the ball over. So I think the player to watch here, and he was just labeled one of the most underrated players in the country by 24/7 Sports, Brad Crawford, in looking at this Virginia defense, is Noah Taylor. Brad wrote, the only linebacker other than Clemson All-American Isaiah Simmons to have at least 7 sacks and multiple interceptions this season. Taylor was a playmaker for the ACC Coastal Division champs. In his first season as a starter, the 6'5", 215-pounder blocked a punt in the season opener at Pitt, and that was just the beginning for a player who came into his own as the year progressed, notched 52 total stops, 11.5 behind the line of scrimmage, and at one point, Taylor had a sack in 5 straight games. All right, and as you heard me say earlier, both teams get to the quarterback. Florida's 5th in the country with 46 sacks, and Virginia is 6th in the country with 45. So just for fun, I wanted to take a look at the common opponents, Miami and FSU, and the sack numbers there. Florida had 10 sacks in the opener, as you remember, versus Miami, while Virginia had 3. Florida had 8 sacks versus FSU, while the Cavaliers had 3 in that game as well. So versus the common opponents, Florida had 18 sacks compared to the 6 Virginia tallied in those 2 games. So in looking at all this on both sides of the ball, Florida just needs to show up and play Gators football. I got a 37-17 final score here for the Gators. The pass rush will be too much for Perkins. Virginia will make plays, and I think we'll give Florida's defense fits early on, but won't be consistent. I think Trask and these Florida wide receivers will have a big night, and I mean a big night. I think Trask will have a big game on an exclusive national stage, and will be one of the storylines of bowl season with a dominating performance. I mean, look, Florida's 2-0 versus the ACCs already this year versus FSU and Miami. The Gators will make a 3-0 on Monday night. So I just think Zuniga should play. Grenard should be playing out there. I think in their final games, they'll want to make a statement, much like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson did in last year's bowl game. And I think Dan Mullen gets his teams ready to play for bowl games here. So I think, you know, I think this matchup sets up pretty well for Florida here. And look, guys, last game of the season. Really fun season. So Florida gets to end it in their home state, in Miami, on a national stage, an exclusive stage. And if you're going down there, enjoy it. If you're watching on TV, enjoy it. It's been a fun season here. So, you know, this is it. This is it. We get to see, we go back to the FSU game and all the praise we were giving the Gators seniors for playing in their last home game. Look, that kind of translates to here as well. Now they're playing in their absolute final game for the Gators. So enjoy these seniors one more time. Those receivers, the running backs, and the defenders and the players that are leaving early as well. Enjoy it for one more time. It's been a fun season, and hopefully the Gators will end it on a winning note one more time and get the 11th win of the season. So a lot to look forward to in the Gators' last game here. So thanks to Jerry Ratcliffe once again for joining us here and giving us a great preview of Virginia for this Orange Bowl matchup. I am the host of Gators Breakdown, David Waters. You can find me on Twitter at GatorDave_SEC. Guys and girls out there, thanks for listening to this episode of Gators Breakdown.